Well, Ken is still with us. Ken Kreitz. Is that how you pronounce that?
That is correct.
Nobody gets it right, I'm sure. No, I'm Dave. I'm the younger, smarter one.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm the sex symbol of the group.
Oh, boy.
Eddie.
Wow.
Yeah, we're struggling here at EAA Radio this morning.
We're going to get thrown off the air for sure now.
Well, so much for being invited back next year.
So have you guys changed the routine much over the 40 years that it's been flying?
Not much. There's only so much you can do with eight airplanes all compacted into a small space like that.
And well, aside from crash.
Well, and we don't want to do that.
Don't want to do that.
We
no.
don't
want to
do that. And we have a wonderful safety history because every year we get the whole team together, everybody that qualified to fly the airplanes, and we get the whole team together and we fly the entire routine over the course of a weekend, and we fly the routines, we fly them individually and with multiple ships. We also do a lot of up close and personal work, formation work, and so all of the guys are formation qualified. All of them have, or most of them have, low level waivers of some kind. We don't do any aerobatics in the airplanes. But you'll, even though I say that, you know, there will be people in the crowd that will be watching us flying this afternoon, and you'll think they're absolutely doing aerobatics, and we are not. You know, we never go past 90 degrees.
Right, it's a textbook definition.
Yeah.
Question.
Yes.
When you get a rating in this airplane, are they giving you a T6 rating, or are they giving you a CAIT rating, or a VAL rating?
No, we have to be T6 qualified.
Okay.
With the Commemorative Air Force to fly any of the airplanes, regardless of what they are. You still right. have to have a T-6 qualification.
Well, I imagine, I mean, the modifications are extensive enough that they got to behave like different airplanes.
It depends from airplane to airplane. They fly pretty much like a T-6. The CAIT is different because it's longer, you know, the moment is longer on the fuselage, and the landing gear is still in the same place as the T-6. VAL is totally different because of the great big wheel pants. It's got a 600 horsepower engine in the front of it instead of a 450. It started life as a multi-vibrator. You know, the VALs with the 450 horse engines just couldn't keep up. And so they put 600 horse engines in them, and they look a whole lot better. And they fly a lot better, too.
You were talking about your big rehearsal weekends. Before every show, do you have your guys go out and do the dirt dance, the actual walk-through rehearsal before they go and fly the actual airplanes?
Well, not specifically, Eddie. What we do is before every show, of course, we have the briefing with the air boss and the rest of the show participants. And then an hour before we go airborne, the whole team gets together and we literally talk through the entire show. We talk about altitudes, we talk about field elevations, talk about runways, we talk about emergency landing facilities, we talk about radio frequencies, weather, location of the pyrotechnics, any obstructions on the airfield. There's a whole card that the Torah lead has, that, and we go right down the list, and we do that before every show we fly.
So it's true that that back at the hotel, they do not sleep in formation, you know, line their beds up.
Here's another question. We all know that aircraft can be rather cantankerous. Have you ever had any problems with having to leave an aircraft and a pilot on the ground because you couldn't get it started for whatever reason?
Yes. I mean, these are 60-year-old airplanes. Now, having said that, each airplane is assigned to a specific pilot. That's the primary pilot on that airplane. They are responsible for the maintenance on that airplane. So, here's the thought process there. If I'm responsible for an airplane and I've got it 1,000 miles from home and it breaks, it's my responsibility to get it back. So, before we ever leave to go anywhere, I'm going to want to be sure that the airplane is up and flying and in good shape, so that we can run them all over the country like we do.
Well, when you say responsible for the maintenance, is he actually the guy turning the wrenches?
In a lot of cases, yes. We've got, I'm an A&P. Dan Reedy's an A&P. Mark Allen is not tour lead, but he's a wonderful technician. And you can look at 118, the newest airplane in the fleet, and that's an airplane that he primarily put together. It originally came out of the Missouri wing, and we took the airplane and then totally rebuilt it into the Zero flying with us today.
Oh, there goes tour lead taking off now. Cleverly disguised as a 737.
They're just out there blowing the runway off, so these
drying
other guys
it, yeah.
drying it out and blowing all the FOD off it by sucking it through their engines. No.
Now, I'm sure you guys have performed at airports that, because of the geography, have forced you to change your program.
We have. For example, Denver, Colorado, 2 years ago, 6,000-foot runway, 6,000-foot elevation.
Right.
And so at 85 degrees, you're up around 6,000, about 7,500, 8,000 foot density altitude. And so you have to take some of the bank and turn out of the airplanes and kind of flatten it out a little bit.
You got to be a little more graceful with the aircraft.
That's exactly correct. Now, down low like this, you know, we can yank and bank pretty good. Still not exceeding the aerobatic performance limits.
Now, when you guys originally started this act, did you have pyro back then, or has this been something that has been phased in over the years?
It's been phased in over the years, Eddie. Mel Reese from St. Louis was one of the first guys to... actually, we had some other guys from the Commemorative Air Force who put pyro underneath the airplanes. But as a standalone part of the act, Mel Reese did it for a while, and then Bob West, who a lot of us remember fondly as No Neck, and in fact two of his children are on the field in the pyro field, his daughter Martha and son Ben West, who's a major in the Air National Guard, flying airplanes.
And what do you do on your weekends?
I blow things up.
I blow stuff up.
Let me go back to something, to a question that you alluded to a few minutes ago, and that was somebody riding with us during the show. And of course, the answer to that is that we can't. The FAA is very strict about required crew only in the airplanes, and so when we're in a performance situation, we only have the pilot on board the airplane.
That's just in case.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, however, absolutely. You know, in the mornings, like, say, when we're done our show, you could probably go out.
You know, under the guise of, well, we got to warm the oil up in the engine.
Yeah, there's yes. a blatant trying to glom a ride. Didn't work.
No, anyway. It never does. Heck, they're not even going to let me out there in the pyro field to hold one of the bags.
The guys in the jump plane offered to give me a ride, but they didn't offer a parachute.
I hate when that happens.
Ooh, Dave.
It's all right. They were expecting me to catch you. Good luck with
that.
Yeah,
right. Not again.
So well, you guys are going to have 8 aircraft flying around here. You're going to have pyro going off on different passes. What advice do you have to the spectators with regards to videography and photography?
Actually, any place on the flight line where they can be safely, they're going to be able to get good pictures of what's going on out here, because we're going to be flying right up and down the runway. The pyrotechnics is going to be right out in front of Air Show Center here, and there will be about 60 shots that'll take place out there, and typically they go 100, 150 feet into the air with the smoke and the fire ring and all of that sort of thing.
That sounds spectacular.
And it is. It really is, Dave.
Marshmallows are optional?
You bet. But I think anywhere along the line here, I'm looking out at the tents that are set up right alongside the radio station, and anybody in this area is going to be able to get good pictures of the entire program. You want to be able to get to where you can hear the sound effects and everything that's being said about the program, because that's a major part of the program. Because we literally start the show as a war and ended up as a celebration of the young men and women who wore the uniform of our great nation.
Have you had reaction from Japanese veterans?
We have, and they've all been positive. We have had a couple of times where radio and media people have tried to stir the pot a little bit, and once we explain what the program is and they've seen it, that all goes away, because there's, you know, nobody is denigrated in any way during the program.
They were all just doing their duty.
They were doing a job,
right.
You know, regardless of which side you were on. Now, created a lot of havoc for us, but they were just doing their job, you know.
Yeah, it was the leadership at the top that was misguided.
That's right. Exactly correct.
Exactly.
That's exactly.
Everybody
correct.
Else was just pretty much following orders.
But we at the end of the program, and we talked very specifically about patriotism and our nation and how we got to where we are, and the young men and women who have fought and died and carried our flag into battle. They are the ones that have allowed us to be the greatest free nation in the world.
Well, that's great. Ken, question for you. If people want to find out more about Tora Tora Tora, where can they do it?
How about putting a www in front of
ToraToraTora.com? There you go. So if you want to find out more information, get on the web. You can either Google Tora Tora Tora, or you can do www.ToraToraTora.com.
There's pictures of the airplanes. There's bios on the pilots, schedule of where we're going to be, and all of that sort of information is available, Eddie.
Sounds like a good time to me.
Okay, no, it sounds like a good time to be here and watch it.
Absolutely.
And we are looking forward to you burning some holes in the grass out there this afternoon.
And making some noise, by the way.
Making some noise and educating us.
When you talk about the sound system and everything, they have this earthquake simulator out here. You will be heard.
That's wonderful.
Somehow I think he would be heard without the sound system.
Parts of it anyway.
Oh, yeah. You got to have to get that booming air announcer voice there.
Thank you very much, guys. It's been a pleasure being with you this morning. Thank you for inviting us in. And please, everybody, at 4:30 this afternoon, come out and watch Tora 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 reenact the invasion of Pearl Harbor.
I don't think anybody's going to be able to sleep.
Not at all.
Not once you start shaking the place.
It's going to be a good time, people. You got to get here.